Thank you, Pastor Paul. I kind of feel like I have to be the good cop now. But, it's funny that Pastor Paul, Pastor Matt, they had a vibe for what I was going for this weekend, but they didn't know what I was going to preach on. And it seems like they picked up the vibe. Half of the things I was going to say have already been said today. I'll say it again. But, you know, I've got a lot to get through. It's 11:07. And, look, I was going to preach this in two parts anyway. I got to writing it and I just realised this is way too long of a thing to talk about. So we're going to have part one today. And I'm going to try and get as much through it as I can. And we're going to have part two the next time I speak to you. But before we get to preaching today, there's something I want to explain to you, church, in case anything I says gets confronting to someone. Now, like many of you have known me for a long time, most probably since before I was even a pastor. And our relationship varies from person to person depending on how long you've known me and how close we are. For a lot of you, I'm your friend. To some, I'm like a big brother, I suppose. To some, I'm like a son. And I'm grateful for those relationships, and I'm happy to wear all those hats. But what I need you to understand is that the only thing that really matters to me is that when you get to the end of your life, you hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's the only thing that really matters to me. That's important. I need you to understand that today. And just in case, because what I'm going to talk about today is a taboo. It is. It's a taboo to talk about, but you've got to trust me and I want you to hear me out. Because last time I spoke to you, if you remember, I had a piece of rope and it went out the door. And then the black bit on the end was signifying this life that we live and the rest of it was supposed to go on forever. And it was to put eternity into perspective. Now, according to Hebrews 13:17, and I feel like I'm going to boom here, Dave. Am I going to boom? Am I okay? According to Hebrews 13:17, is that me or is that a helicopter?
Helicopter.
Okay, that's what's going on. Okay, try this again. According to Hebrews 13:17, I have to give an account for those I've been given a responsibility for. Now, because I'm the pastor of this congregation, there's nothing worth more, there's nothing more valuable for me to put my time, energy and attention into than getting you into the afterlife with a good report. Amen? So I need you to understand that today when I bring this word is that I love you and I have to tell you these things sometimes because we need to hear it. So if you find anything I say confronting today, there's three things I want you to remember. There's no judgment here is number one. We're all on this journey together, and the day you say yes to something, you are as successful as the day it manifests in your life. As soon as you decide to go down the road of sanctification, you're winning. And even if you fall off that road, you're still winning as long as you get back on. The day you stop winning is the day when you either compromise or you quit, okay? So number one, there's no judgment here. Number two, if I bring hard words to you, it's because I love you and I could tickle your ears all day, every week, and you'd love me for it, but that's not love. I'd be a con man. And number three, I count myself among the number who need to hear the word. Okay, so are we okay? I count myself among the number of people who need to hear this word. So I want to remind you of something that you've already been reminded of today, and that is the One Church Perth, you're an apostolic and prophetic people. If you're sitting here today, you're a pioneer. You're carrying the move of God that's been long prophesied. I sound almost like Paul just before. And this church has a history of punching way above its weight when it comes to extending the kingdom of God. That's the truth. But I want to remind you that in this season, God has called us, One Church Perth, to a time of consecration, to a time of seeking his face, to a time of purity. He told us that we must shift our focus from pushing out for a minute and seek his face. Because you're not human doings, you're human beings, and what you are is more important than what you do. Amen. Psalm 127 verse 1, Solomon says this, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. So the best way you can build, the best way you can build this kingdom, the best way you can build even your own life is to submit yourself to this process that God has got us on of sanctification. Amen? Now I'm going to be able to tell how I'm going today. Okay, if it gets real quiet in here, it's because of, maybe you're taking notes, but feel free to shout amen. And listen, you know, this is going to go one of two ways. Now it's about loving you, but if you agree with me or if it's happening for you, or, you know, if the hat fits, then say amen to it, okay? Amen. So let's pick up where we left off last time. Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? One who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. Now, if you remember from last time, that word purity means free from any contaminants, unadulterated, undiluted, unpolluted, pure. Now, following Christ is no part-time thing, as we know. It's not an add-on to your life. It's not a spectator sport. It's all or nothing. Now, there's plenty of people who accept Jesus as their Savior, but not as their Lord. And he's either both or he's neither. And Pastor Candace, talking about this journey, has always been a bit ahead of the curve. I guess it must have something to do with all the praying that she does. But she brought the message early in the year about grumbling and complaining. Who was there for that? How it defiles our mouths and how complaining is to Satan what prayer is to God. Powerful word. She also brought us the message on gluttony. Do you remember that? And I have to say this about Pastor C. Normally, she has ice water running through her veins. I've never seen her shook about anything in my life, but that morning I could tell. She was hoping that something was going to happen in the worship and the Spirit was just going to keep rolling on. But she was faithful to deliver that word, but I could tell. And the reason for that is because there's certain topics which touch a little too close to home. They're taboo. You know, we don't want to talk about them. I have to be honest with you. It was a tough message for me. This morning I need to talk about another one, which is pretty much the taboo of the taboos. The biggest golden cow of them all. And today I want to talk to you about finances and what they mean in the kingdom of God. Now, Pastor Matt didn't know before he had his big talk this morning that I was going to be talking on this. He knew basically a vibe of where I was going. But listen, this isn't going to be a spiel on give us all your money, okay? Like all things in our life, it's either surrendered to God or it's not. And I've got to tell you, if you're triggered already, then there's a good chance that things are not so hot for you in this department. But please hear me out. Okay? Have an open mind, take a moment, breathe, control yourself. Just listen to what I have to say, and if at the end of it doesn't make sense, you can take me outside and throw rocks at me. Deal? Okay? I've got to reiterate to you that I'm interested in your freedom. I'm interested in your flourishing. I'm interested in you getting across the line and hearing the best report you can hear. And before I get into it, you know, money is an interesting thing. It is a taboo subject for people, not just in the church, but everywhere. And it's something that they don't teach you about in school. In fact, if you want to learn about it, you've got to go and find that out for yourself. And there are plenty of places that you can do that. And many people learn the world system, which works really well. You just ask Greece in 2011 or the USA currently or countless other people. No, it doesn't. But actually, there is a bank that teaches your kids about finance in when they're in school. Has anyone here ever had a Dolomite account? Dolomites? Yeah? I didn't know that, but it's, you know, what's funny about that is that when I was going to school, everyone had a Dolomites account. It was like banking for children. They would teach you how to do banking. And, you know, the thing about it is if you ever had a Dolomites account, they knew when your 18th birthday was. On your 18th birthday, they would send you a letter saying, congratulations, you qualify for a credit card. Let's get you building your credit rating today. And I remember, I don't know if you guys know, a guy named Scott Pape. I read an article from him when he was asked to go before the Senate and, you know, talk about education and banking. And he said that having Commonwealth Bank in our schools to try and teach our kids about money is the same as having Ronald McDonald going to teach them about nutrition. So there is lots of information out there, lots of incorrect information, and we've got to talk about this today. It's an important topic when we consider that when Psalm 24, which says that anyone who can approach God on his holy hill has to have pure heart, clean hands, not given their souls to idols. And if you turn with me, or you can just read it behind me, to Matthew 6:19. Jesus speaks about money. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, and where your treasure is, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Heart issue of where your treasure is. And if you remember when I threw the rope and I talked about like the black bit being this life, we want to be building for that red bit, the bit that goes on forever and ever and ever. That's where we should be storing our treasures. If it keeps going on, he says, the eye is the lamp of the body, and if the eyes are healthy, then the whole body is full of light, but if your eyes are unhealthy, then your whole body will be full of darkness, and if the light that is within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Nobody can serve two masters. You'll either love one and hate the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. No one can serve both God and mammon. And for anyone who's wondering, Jesus didn't get distracted and start talking about something else in the middle there and then snap back. When he's referring to the eye being the lamp of the body, he's illustrating that the way that we see things determines our destination and our heart attitude towards things. So no one can serve two masters, right? Who would willingly serve money? Doesn't make sense. Money's supposed to serve me. Am I right? And it's a funny one. It's an important one. 1 Timothy 6 verse 10 says this, for the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So we need to talk about it. When we're talking about purity, when we're talking about following Jesus wholeheartedly, we need to make sure that we talk about this. You're not going to learn about it in school. We've got to talk about it. Proverbs 22:7 says that the rich rolls over the poor and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. Debt equals slavery. And we live in a culture of debt, don't we? We buy things that we can't afford, but we want anyway, despite the fact that the Bible clearly talks about it, speaking yet against it. During the course of that loan, unless you're a crook who never intends to pay it back, you're bound to that debt and you must give it your time and your attention. Now, the root problem of this is the heart attitude behind it. And if we spend what we don't have once, what's to stop us doing it again and again? And I've personally had friends who've borrowed to pay debts and borrowed to pay that debt, and the interest compounds and it becomes a bigger and bigger and bigger beast, and they can't stop it. And realistically, it's not for things they need, it's for things we want. In our society, we want the new car, we want the new holiday, we want the new couch, we want to keep up with the Joneses. It's not for things we need. I want to treat myself to a fancy meal. And Jesus addresses this thinking in a place you probably won't expect, but in Matthew 5:5, he says this, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, to be meek means to be controlled. To control yourself. In a conflict, to be meek means to use the least amount of force possible to subdue your assailant. We all understand what meek means. Let me give you an example. You wouldn't believe it by looking at her, but sometimes my daughter, she loses her temper with me. And when she does, if she's close enough, she hits me as hard as she can. Bang. She lost it, loses her temper. That's not appropriate for me in that situation, for me to hit her back with all of my strength, is it? That's not appropriate. I need to use meekness in that situation. It calls for control. I have all this strength, but I only need like 1% of it to make my point with my daughter when she hits me. We understand? This same principle is supposed to be applied to our finances. Just because I have all this money come in for me, for my salary this week, does not mean I should be spending it all. This is biblical wisdom. Ancient biblical wisdom is actually that you give to your storehouse, you give your tithe, you give to the family storehouse, you pay your taxes, and actually that you give a first fruits offering too. That means that once you've tithed, you've paid your taxes, you've saved, you should have some left over for when God says, I want you to bless with that. And then with the lump that you have left, that should determine your lifestyle. Meekness. I'm going to let that sink in there for a second. I want to remember rule 3. This is something I have included myself in. I'm in a process just like everyone. I'm working towards that, and I'll tell you my testimony afterwards. But the bit that's left after we've done what God tells us to do with it is the bit that tells us what our lifestyle can be like. That's the way it should be. And if you live like that, the Bible says the meek will inherit the earth. Think about this. Who are the richest people in Hollywood? You know, who are the doctors? Who are the people, the big power players? People with names like Goldstein, Berg, Jewish names. Hebrews have all the money. Is there a coincidence? You know, the Hebrews throughout history have always done very well. And I wonder why. Because they apply these principles. Well, look at the opposite. If the meek inherit the earth, and the people who don't do any of that, but instead decide to live lifestyles beyond their capacity, what happens to them? The world owns them. Now, I'm not talking about getting rich today. I'm talking about freedom. Freedom. You want to make a difference in this world. You want to extend the kingdom of God, but you can't because you've got to work 60 hours to pay for a holiday that you had 3 years ago. You want to keep up with the Joneses. They get a new car, so you need a new one. You want to support the mission work of OCN, but you can't afford to support it every month because you need Netflix and Stan. Just do what I do. Just pay for Netflix and then use your mother-in-law's Stan account because she doesn't use it all the time. Then you got the money free. No, but the truth is, the point is that your money, you either own it or it owns you. And you're not supposed to be owned by anything except for Jesus. Do you ever hear about missions trips and dream that, like, I wish I could go, but you figure that you can never afford it? You know, it's not supposed to be like that. We need to be able to move with agility when it comes to these things. God set it up perfectly for us so that we should be the head and not the tail. We shouldn't be dictated by the world's systems of what we can and can't do in our personal lives. When God says go, we should be able to go. We should be ready for it. We should be prepared for it. Imagine getting to heaven and having to explain that you couldn't afford your destiny because you're paying off your jet ski. I don't think anyone here has a jet ski. If you do, I'm not talking specifically about you. I'm just explaining. Yeah, you know what I'm saying, though. And you know what? I know that there are people in here today who haven't lavishly bought jet skis and things like that, who are still struggling. I appreciate that. And you may be saying to me, or you may be saying to yourself today, that, Chris, you don't understand. I just can't afford to do it. I just can't afford to do the things that you're saying here. I can't afford that. Well, I've got to tell you something, and that is this, is that your thinking's wrong. Now, as someone who left their trade to become to train to be a pastor, I took a significant pay cut to do that. I went from being a fully qualified senior tradesman at a big mining company to being a brick, an off-sider for a builder, 3 days a week instead of six. So if you can imagine, I know what it's like to tighten the belt. And that process wasn't perfect for me, which you'll hear about soon. But, and by the way, not knowing anything that I'm telling you today at this point in my life, I can tell you with all confidence that if you do things God's way, He will make a way. It's as simple as that. You either believe it or you don't. Jesus is either your Lord or He's not. You either trust Him with a pure heart or you give yourself to an idol. Jesus is your Lord or He isn't. It's His way works or it doesn't. You either trust Him or you give yourself to an idol. I'm talking about freedom today. I'm talking about freedom out from under a yoke of slavery that we put ourselves in. I'm talking about living in a way that gives us agility to fulfill what God has called us to do. The amount of times that I've wanted to do something because of silly decisions that I've made in the past, I've not been able to. I want to talk about this today when we're talking about purity, when we're talking about all these things, because I want, especially you young people, you know, us old people, we know these things because we made the mistakes. But you guys, listen today. Listen now. Apply these things from the word go. Time is on your side. Time is on your side. And you don't know what that means until you get to being 30. I mean, I'm getting laughed at here, and I understand that. But I'm telling you, it doesn't make sense to you until you start to get sore after you've done a day's digging, when or something like that, and you go wow, and you start to think about the things you've done, the plans you've made, the opportunities that you've missed. Start today, young people. Chisel this into your heart and just say, God, I don't understand. And you don't understand. I know you don't. And that's fine. Set yourself apart and say, I want to be consecrated. I want to do things your way. And you watch. That you'll never have a problem fulfilling your destiny, your God-given destiny. Now, I'm aware it's 11:30 and I was going to do this as a two-part series anyway, because there's so much more to talk about here. I want to give two quick testimonies and of how, like, changing how you think changes the outcome. And then I want to address something. So there's a bit more to go. But I want to say that giving your money to the church is only one part of this thing. Doing your money God's way involves so many things about the way you earn it, what you do with it when you've got it, your attitude towards generosity, your readiness to go when God says go. It's such a big topic that we need to address if we're going to be pure, if we're going to be blessed. You know what, church? I want to get back to being the move of God. Desperately, I do. God has told us, and we need to be obedient, that we need to seek His face, and He's got us stuck on this purity thing, and that's fine. He wants to work something in you. And so when He talks about gluttony, when He talks about grumbling and complaining, when He addresses your finances, the correct response is going, God, I don't know, but I will. I'm going to say yes to You. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to say yes. Amen? Because what I don't want to happen, church, is that we stuff this up and we go back around the mountain another time. I want to get back out there to kicking goals. Amen? So I have two testimonies that I want to share with you today about this year and about accepting what God is saying in your heart. We've had some challenging message, and that's due to the fact that purity needs to be brought out. And then when you talk about purity, you tend to bring the, what's in the dark out into the light, and you need to examine it. And it's not comfortable. You know, when Pastor Candace addressed gluttony, that was a difficult message for me. I'm not going to lie. There's some slides there of me, if you just go there. I don't know if you can see that. There, you can see it. There's next one. Just stay on that one for now. Not a bad looking rooster, eh? That was 10 years ago. The one in the middle, not the guy in the singlet. But you know, you want to know something? Is that at that point in my life, I was fit, I was healthy. And before that, I was skinnier than that. You could see bones in my chest. But the whole time, I've always, always pictured myself as a fat guy. I'm being honest with you today. It's been something I've struggled with my whole life, is picturing myself and my self-image. It's been a battle I've had prayer ministry for, I've had counselling for, I've prayed through. And so the gluttony message was a difficult one for me to hear. Because Hebrews 11 tells us this, is that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And what you believe about yourself, or in general, what you believe, what you put your faith in, is the substance of what is unseen. And I found this to be true in my life, is that what you believe about yourself manifests in your life. And I'm not just talking about this one incident. This is partly why grumbling and complaining is such an important one too. What you speak out over yourself, you start to believe, my situation sucks, no one loves me. I've seen that happen, I don't know how many times, where people believe and no one cares about them, and they believe it, and that belief changes them to becoming really difficult to love. You know what I'm talking about? The people who believe that no one loves them are difficult to love. Just like with me in these photos here, back then, I thought I was a big guy. And I stand before you today, I weigh 140 kilos. I measured myself this morning. And that's too much. It's far too much. But the hope is this, and this is why I say the day you start on a journey, you're a winner until the day it manifests in your life. The day that Candace preached that message, I weighed 147. And it's not about that, to be honest with you. I said to myself that day, is that God, you know my struggle. You know what this is. You know it's not that easy. But I said, but God, I'm committing myself to it. If you're talking this over the church, I want in. I want to be a part of it. I agreed with the journey and I went on with the journey and I said, let's go. And it's about changing what you believe about yourself. You know what? Someone somewhere along the way has planted that seed in my insecurities. My insecurities were like a good, soft, nutritious soil that wanted to eat that seed, and I nurtured it all my life. When I look like a perfectly normal young man, you know, I believed I was what I was. And so what it looked like for me was the fact that every time I would go for a run, every time I would try and eat, and I'd just think it was too hard, and that why would you even bother, because you're not going to beat this thing anyway. Who knows what I'm talking about, these battles you have in your head. But I choose today to not listen to the accuser anymore. I choose today, I want intimacy with Jesus. I want intimacy. I don't want to listen to the lies anymore. I know that that's a dysfunction in me. I know it's something that it's there, but it shouldn't be there. You know, like I don't have any illusions that I'm going to be in a fireman's suit on a calendar on someone's wall. Maybe I'll make one for Tash, but she can have it for herself. And I'm not interested in living my best life now or all that type of thing. You know, but the two are linked. I want to walk my, you know, I want to do the things I need to do. I don't want to just have agility financially. I want to have agility bodily. I want to be healthy. I want to be happy. You know, I want that thing. I want the dysfunction out of my life. I want to be pure. I want to follow Jesus with everything I have and not let anything stop me. And so I'm successful today. I still have a long way to go. But I'm as successful today as I am when that manifests in my life because I said yes to God. I'm walking that road of sanctification. Amen. So that's what I want you to hear today is no judgment, no condemnation. It's just to say yes to God for this thing and say, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to start today. We're going to make an effort in faith. I've got to talk to you next time about your faith and the substance of your faith and your faith. The substance is your faith and your faith is the substance. And that your faith without works is dead, all that type of thing. I want to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you about exactly what Matt said this morning. Put your money where your mouth is. You know, when you pray, your sacrifice gives testimony in the throne room of God to speak so on behalf of you. So whatever it is you give, it speaks, it amplifies what you're praying. God hears it, God moves. I got scriptures for days, but I'm not going to go into them. I'll tell the second story. The start of this year, I'm getting real vulnerable here now. I was 20 grand in debt. And it turns out that the transition from being a tradesman to a pastor wasn't the perfect one. I missed bills. I couldn't pay fines. I had to borrow to start a business. And my thinking at the time was all wrong around finances. And 20K is a big deal for me. Like it would be for many people. But the worst part about it is the stress and the shame and the worry that you just think is going to get worse and worse. It's hard to be victorious under those circumstances. Hard to be a role model. Hard to hear from God when the worry is louder. And the worst part about it is not knowing where to start. And that's what it's like to have money own you. What you want to do, you can't do because you're a slave to it. And it begins to affect the decisions that you make. Now, I have a friend who's a police officer, and he told me once, he said that courts, I don't know if this is accurate, but this is what he told me as a police officer. So, courts have a degree of understanding for people who commit fraud in times when their businesses are severely in duress. Not that they don't get punished, but not in the same way that a con man or a grifter does. Because they understand that in those situations, you will do things that you normally wouldn't do. Because they understand the effect that money has over a person. I can talk to you about this today. Because last year, I took part in the finance seminar that we were going to run last weekend. And I said yes to God. I said, yep, I'm going to start to apply that in my life. I'm going to start to do things your way. And I made a commitment to do things his way from now on, and I can tell you that half of that debt is gone 5 months later. Now, that's a different testimony, and maybe I'll tell you it later on, but I haven't had a pay rise. The business isn't doing phenomenally well. But I just want to say it's basically favour and desolate inheritances. Money's been coming at me like a magnet. Wow, awesome. And my house, which I bought 10 years ago, has been sat empty for the last 12 months because it needed renovating. And I didn't have the time, I didn't have the money to make it happen. This Wednesday, I had a tenant move in, so I no longer have to pay the full mortgage on it. I'm on track to paying everything back. And be free, be out from underneath it. I'm not here trying to preach your best life now. I'm not making promises that if you do what I did, the exact same thing's going to happen to you. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel today. I'm preaching about God's way brings freedom. So I'm not interested necessarily in the blessings that can be achieved in this life. I want to further the kingdom of God. I'm living for the red bit of that rope. And I know that I don't want to disqualify myself any longer. I want to be in a position to move when God says move. I want to not let the accuser have any ammunition to plague me with anymore. I don't want to grumble and complain, speak lies over my life and other people's lives. I want to believe what God says. I want to put it into action and watch as he brings freedom. And all I really want on Pentecost Sunday is for the Spirit to come and change my life daily. I want intimacy with Jesus, and I want to remove the obstacles in my way. Amen. And for this church, the sooner we get back to being the move of God, the better. I don't want to go around a mountain, go over things because we didn't listen the first time. So can I ask the worship team, can you just come back up for just quickly? And I know that we are 11:43. But I feel led to do something here, and I would like it if you could all participate. It'd be nice if more people were here. I don't know how we're going to get the message of this to them. But while the worship team play a song in the background, I just want you to sit and meditate on something today. I'm going to call a fast in this church, a time of consecration for the next 21 days. And I want you to ask God, while the music's playing, how do you want me to fast? So you guys feel free to get started whenever you're ready. I want you to ask God, how do you want me to fast? Dave, can you please turn the sound on so that they can play the music so people can... Thank you. You know, the truth is that all the things that have been happening, God can use things that you never ever thought of before to achieve results in your life that you've never seen or dreamt of. And this fast, I want you to consider this consecration to God. It's as much about unlearning as about learning. I was told off at one point by someone for not asking for help when they found out about my situation, and that was something I had to repent of, not asking for help. What is it for you? Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, that this morning no one would feel condemned. No one would, if anyone's made bigger mistakes than me, please don't let them feel condemned. I pray right now for your hope to rest on them, the peace. I pray for freedom. I pray you silence the voice of the accuser telling him that they've stuffed it up. I pray you release favor makes all things new. Makes all things new. Join us, church, in this fast, this new level of consecration. Maybe God's telling you to do something that you need to do as an act of faith today. Whatever that looks like, maybe it's to go home and chuck out the things you don't need. Maybe it's to go and bless someone. Who knows what it is? We need to respond in faith today.